Today, I'm talking to Vicky Barron in New York City with Compass, a top real estate agent recently ranked number 2 in the city and number 8 in the country. As remarkable as her results are her stories, it's not just the record-breaking sales for her listings like the Ralph Walker Collection, 100 Barclay, Stella, and Walker Tower, but also how she won them. Vicky has also won several achievement awards, including the Real Estate Board of New York's Eileen Spinella Award for Distinguished Service. Vicky has also been featured in the Wall Street Journal, The Real Deal, the New York Times, and HGTV's Selling New York, to mention a few. When Vicky talks, the real estate world listens. Once you've listened to this interview, you will know why. She and I talk about how to learn, grow, and crush it. Thanks for listening to the Jerry Metcalf Podcast, where top real estate agents tell how they do it. This podcast was created for real estate agents across the country to come together, sharing ideas to take your, their, and all our business to the next level. Hi, everybody. It's the Jerry Metcalf Podcast, where top real estate agents tell how they do it. And today we have on the show, of course, a superstar, Vicky Barron in New York with Compass. Vicky, it's good to see you.
Well, it's good to see you. And thank you so much for inviting me to join you. And I love your backdrop.
That's so funny, because I bet it looks familiar, like a penthouse you have listed for, what is it, $12.7 million
yes.
on Park Place?
Yes. At the Four Seasons.
Go ahead?
At the Four Seasons. But you look beautiful in it. It never looked better. If someone sees it with you sitting in it, it's going to sell.
So you know how we always do the short clips? We're just going to short clip this and play it over and over for my ego. Anyway, it's stunning. So we don't always talk about it, but we're going to indulge in it because we're having so much fun. This, everybody behind me, is your listing in the St. Regis on Park Place in or I guess I should say Manhattan, right?
Yeah,
Manhattan. The Southern non-New Yorker that you've got on the market, because every show, the picture in the background is one of the listings of the agent I'm talking to. So let's get started on, did I even say this is Jerry Metcalf Podcast, where top real estate agents tell how they do it? I think I said that part. And we have Vicky Barron. Vicky, thank you so much for coming. It's good to see you. Tell us, let's just start out, like, how and why did you become a real, well, let's talk about who you are first and how you became an agent. But first, you've been in the business for, I think, 20 years.
Correct. Yes.
You've got a team in New York.
I do.
You have been quoted in the Wall Street Journal, The Real Deal, The New York Times. You have been awarded things such as even Rookie of the Year, but my favorite is, or the way it sounds is great, is, I'm forgetting the name of it for, this is embarrassing, y'all, but it's, you were Distinguished Service. Is it the Eileen Spinella Award for
Spinella.
Right. So yeah. Give us some more, add on to that, like with all of your gorgeous and some sales records and representation of developments, but you sum it up for us better.
You know what? I'm not very good at this. When I sit in the living room and I'm pitching, and it's the one thing when owners say, tell me about yourself and why I should hire you. I really am not very good at that, because I'm not the person to sit there and say, oh, my numbers are this and I've accomplished that and I've done this and I've done that. Because I really, really, truly feel the attention should be on someone else and not on me, on them, the seller, the buyer, the other agent I'm trying to coach or help. And it's uncomfortable for me to start doing that. And I do appreciate you being so generous and mentioning some of them. The one that you mentioned, the Eileen Spinella Award, that was dear to my heart, because I have chose to volunteer and work at the real estate board with agents from every walk of life, every firm, small firms, medium firms, large firms. And people over the years have said, why do you spend countless hours doing that? Why, Vicky, are you up there sharing your secrets, your recipe, your this and your that? And I really enjoy doing that because every time I'm up there, there can be an agent that's in the business for 1 week and I will learn something from that agent. And it also, I really believe in the whole world of abundance, and there's enough business to go around, and there's enough, it's just all about energy and helping one another. So when I'm in that classroom and agents come up after the class, or I see them a month later or a year later, and they say, oh, there was something you shared that helped me get a listing. There's something that you shared that helped me in this negotiation. Like, that just feels good. And I really believe that every agent is my partner, and without them, I cannot succeed. So when you build relationships, and I don't care what firm they're at, it's, we're all in it together, whatever firm you are at. And
wow.
That award with the Eileen Spinola was really recognizing the time that I've given in the industry doing that. But they've given me much more than I've given them.
Wow. Yeah, it's like those who teach learn. When you teach, you learn.
Yes. And I don't know anything. I wake up every day saying I have no idea. I don't even know what I know. And I just keep learning. But if you keep learning, if you're green, you keep growing. And when you stop, we know what happens.
Amen to that. Now, because I'm going to tout you, because it's relevant to show what you've done, and that what you've done is a result of this philosophy and this way of thinking. For example, this was it. I found it. So you have been the director of sales at the Ralph Walker Collection. And in that, you've played a role in breaking sales records for their portfolio. And there were it was 100 Barclay, Stella, and Walker Tower.
Correct.
That's incredible. And then I love that. So let's start off with just, I mean, we started, but like repeating what you just said is the biggest thing I hear is synergy. It's about synergy. Mm-hmm. It's about learning, seeing the world as a place of abundance, not take, not win, lose, and creating and sharing. And out of that, it sounds like you're fulfilled, but would you say that's also what in fulfilling you has made you successful, or what's really made you successful? Like, how did you break through?
I think, well, I moved to New York from LA, California. I did not know a soul. I didn't have a relative. I didn't have a friend. I absolutely did not know anyone in New York City. And I thought I was in New York for 2 years. I made the decision. I love real estate. So I bought my first piece of real estate when I was, I think, 20 years old. And to this day, I'm not sure how I did that. But I went to the bank, got a mortgage, bought this little small place, fixed it up, sold it 10 months later. Then I bought something else, kept it a year and a half, sold it. I was not licensed. I was my only client. But I did this in California, and I loved real estate, and I love fixing places up. And I guess flipping before I knew flipping was a thing. And when I moved to New York, everyone in California said, oh, you should sell real estate. You should sell real estate. And I worked in healthcare, not real estate. And I did not choose to go into real estate because I knew I had such a passion for it that I would never make my children's soccer games and dance rehearsals and be involved. I have two daughters, and I thought, I'll miss out on all of that. I know how I'm wired. And I was correct, because when I got to New York, I decided I'm going to get my license. And what better way to get to know the city? I didn't even know where Tribeca was. I didn't know anything. And I got licensed, and I just absorbed. And really, when I look back on it, it's having the passion and having the interest for the knowledge. So I used to spend countless hours before my license was even valid, going to open houses, taking notes, just really curious. Why was this one priced at that price versus this price? What makes one more valuable than the other? And I do have, I'm horrible at remembering names and titles, but I'm really good at numbers. And I could remember floor plans and numbers and data. So I would just walk down the street and absorb and retain. But I spent hours studying all that stuff. And it fascinated me. So I think that is how.
Yeah, learning your, well, that is how, finish what you were saying.
That's how I kind of cracked the code was, and the way I did for sale by owners. So I didn't know anyone. So how did I become rookie of the year? I converted for sale by owners. And it was by a mistake. I was in a training class and I had to call 3 for sale by owners as an exercise. And I didn't even have a business card. So when I called, a machine came on and it said, "This is John and Mary. We're not home right now. If you're an agent, no agents." Beep. So I wasn't trying to pitch. I was in a classroom learning and not even really licensed. So I just said, "Mary, this is Vicky, and I'm so sorry to bother you." And I did hear the part about no agents. So it's a dilemma because I am a licensed agent, but I simply have a question for you. And if you'd be kind enough to give me a call back. Well, when I went back to the classroom the next day, everybody laughed at that answer. They said, "You left a message on the machine. They're never going to call you back. This is New York City. This is not California. You're from California. You must drink wheatgrass and do yoga. And this is New York. You're going to be eaten alive." And I thought to myself, no, I think she's going to call me back. And sure enough, she did. And when she called me back, I had a nice conversation with her. She wasn't so nice, honestly, but we had a good conversation. And she said, "You have a question for me." And I had to think on my feet because I wasn't really sure what the question was, but
I love this.
And then I got her talking about her apartment and she loved the apartment. She loved her apartment. So I thought, this is interesting to me. I'm not selling anything. I'm just getting Mary to talk about her apartment. She lit up. Next thing, she invited me in. And then when I showed up, again, I didn't have a pitch packet. I wasn't pitching for the listing. I was just so excited to be invited in. And I took a notepad and I gave her real valuable advice, honest advice about what I do for her next open house. And then she got tired and decided she did not want to be a real estate agent. And she interviewed 5 agents. I was one of them. I got the listing. And the rest is kind of followed suit. And I learned my lesson right then is if you're present, if you're honest, if you're caring, and you take the time to ask the right questions, it's all about asking questions to get to understand their needs, because we're in a business to serve other people. They don't care what our agenda is. They don't care that we want to make our numbers work or get a commission check to pay our rent. They don't care about that. They care about their situation, their needs, and we're there to find out what those needs are and service them. And as soon as you go in it with that mentality that I'm here to help you and service you, and I need to ask questions to better understand what your needs are, and this is going to be fun, and together we can get to the finish line, then all of a sudden you separate yourself from the rest and you're no longer a salesperson. You're a human with a strategy to help them accomplish something. Therefore, the partnership makes sense.
This podcast is over. Thank you. That was all we needed to hear. And that was so great. Exactly. Okay. I want to ask you one question. I want to revisit on some of that. But what year was this that you, what year did you move to New York?
I got licensed in 1999.
Okay. So you were in a class, and by the time you went over there, I guess you had just gotten your license or you were in the process. Okay. So that was 22 years ago. But like I love just to reiterate to everybody, I mean, the big lessons in here are approaching things with curious, be passion or passionate curiosity, be curious with passion and the desire to learn, and then being present with people, having integrity. And best of all, we're in a business to serve other people.
Yeah.
And you just show up.
If that means cleaning toilets and dusting and organizing, so be it. You know, you do what you have to do to accomplish the goal. And you know, 96, I will say this stat, because I am proud of this, 96% of my business, and it's been consistent, it's been between 93 and 96% at least for the last 15 years, is all referral. It's all referral because people will talk to you about you. The question is, what do you want them to say? And if you really give it your best and you really, again, take the attention off of you and put it on them and care about them, and every decision you make is on their benefit, they will recognize that and they will talk about you and they will recommend you and they will never forget you if you really do it authentically. And people, especially in New York, and I'm sure everywhere in the US, they're wise. They know when it's fake and they know when it's real.
And I think the more influence people have, the more they know, because the more they deal with people coming after them to get something, especially anybody with a house for sale.
Correct.
So and even in New York City, being nice and listening works, even in New York City.
No, it was my secret sauce, because the truth is with the for sale by owners, you know what? I remember another one. She said to me, oh, I suppose you have a buyer for my apartment. Why didn't you have a business card? Like, lady, I don't even have a business card. I do not have a buyer for your apartment. That's what I'm thinking in my head. And what I said to her is, I said, you know, with the Southern View and the renovated kitchen with the window, I honestly wish I did have a buyer for your apartment. But the truth of the matter is, I don't have a buyer today. But it doesn't mean I won't have one tomorrow. But I have another question for you. Can we talk about blah, blah, blah? And you just continue the conversation. But they're so taken back by your honesty, because so many agents feel the need. And when I'm teaching classes and I bring them up, I ask them, who is teaching you to do this? Who is teaching that to lie is a good idea? Let me help you. It's a bad idea. Don't do it. Just stop doing that.
Well, it's probably in your code of ethics. In our code of ethics in Atlanta, it's actually like, you can't lie. Like, don't lie. Like, if somebody asks you a question, don't lie. Like, you can't, I can't remember about disclosures. And then there's, and don't lie. Like, at the end of the day, just don't lie.
Just don't lie. And you know, your life is a lot easier when you don't lie. You know, and you're not going to die if you tell the truth. Like, if you say, I don't have a buyer. In fact, you stand out because everyone else probably says they have a buyer for it. Maybe they do. I'm not saying they're lying, but I didn't. So to be able to say, I don't have a buyer for it, it's the honest truth. I almost didn't get a townhouse once because someone I was pitching against pointed out to the owner. The owner said, you know, Vicki, I really like you and want to hire you. But it was this other agent. It's back when we had titles. Remember that day when everyone had titles? And they said, this other agent is a vice president.
Oh, we're still doing that. Yeah.
Oh, you guys, we don't in New York. We can't do
that. So. I think we could do that here. I'm still just an associate broker because that's what I am on my license. But I've seen that stuff. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. So she had this title and then she said, and she specializes in townhouses. She only sells high-end townhouses. And she pointed out to me that you have a studio for sale on your website, you know, for $350,000. And this townhouse was like $7.5 million. And she said, so, you know, I'm kind of torn because I want to hire you, but then she's got this title as vice president and she sells only exclusive high-end townhouses. And I said in that living room, because it was the truth, I said, well, I thank you so much for bringing that up. But the truth of the matter is, when I got my license, I said to myself, I never want to be the individual that is too busy or too important not to help everybody. So if you have a niece or a nephew moving the city that needs their first time studio, as much as I like helping the $10 million buyer, I get a lot of just a reward and it feels good to help that first time buyer. If they save $10,000, they feel so good. So I really do thank you for noticing that on my website. And I hope 10 years from now, you'll still see that on my website. And by the way, today, if you go to my website, you'll see a $400,000 apartment. So I just feel that we're in the business to help everybody, And she ended up hiring me. Oh, and by the way, I went back to my firm and I told the story to my manager. He said, well, Vicki, you are a senior vice president. With your numbers, I said, I am. I had no idea what it means. He said, you don't have that on your website? I said, no. What does that mean? I don't even know what that means. He said, you're a senior. So I called her back. I said, apparently I'm a senior vice president, but I didn't know that that was a thing. So I don't have that on my website. So then the next day it was on the website.
Oh my God, I love that. That's such a great story. Like, it's just so refreshing. Just, yeah. I mean, to work with you, I can't, your clients probably just like want to eat you up. I mean, I just love it. I had so many questions and now you made me forget. But a big one is I noticed, like, I love how there are a couple of things when you're interacting with people I'm hearing. Number one, you point out the obvious up front. Yeah. Like, hey, I am a role. And for like, what did you say? I'm kind of in a quandary. It's kind of a dilemma because I am an agent.
Yeah.
I have a question for you, which gets to the next one. Be honest, be transparent. Yeah. And just like, this is such a terrible analogy, but I can't resist. Or metaphor. It's an analogy, not a metaphor. But anyway, the 40-year-old virgin, that scene, ask questions. Just ask questions.
Ask questions. That's all
good. Questions are better or good, right? And you happen to have really good questions.
I ask a lot of questions. People that know me go, I'm constantly saying, I have one quick question. I have a lot of questions because I'm really, but here's the important part. And I tell people in the classes that I lead, don't ask questions if you don't understand what you're going to do with the answer. A doctor is asking you, right? Think about this. Uh-huh. A doctor don't go send the patient for a test if the result of that test doesn't have anything to do with your direction where you're going to send the patient. In other words, that test or that question and the answer to the question should fold into a path of where you're going. If you're just asking questions and the answers have no meaning and you don't understand why you're even asking the question, those are not good questions. You need to ask questions and understand why you're asking the question and really wait for the answer, because the answer has importance to you if you're caring about the person you're asking the question about. So there's some people I'm sure you see it. They come in and they ask questions and they're not logical questions. And I'm thinking they just took them off of a sheet somewhere and they're not even going to take any answers. So then that's not the purpose. Like, that makes no sense.
You're just like, and we talked about this a little before we recorded. I didn't say anything, but I'm with you. But again, don't ask questions of reading, because I want to get it word for word what you said. Don't ask questions if you don't know what you're going to do with the answers. And going to that is, don't ask questions if you're not listening. Number one, listen, which goes into scripting. Don't script. Listen. Oh. Yes. Listen, if you're not listening and you're not coming there with the right frame of mind and understanding I think a lot of this dishonesty and questions that are stupid questions, for lack of a better word, is not believing you actually have value, believing you just have an agenda, you have to get something done, whatever it takes, and forgetting the fact that, as you said when we started, we are in the business. I wrote this down too, so I have to read it, but we are in the business to serve other people.
Correct.
And when you show up knowing you're there to serve them, and then you start looking for, well, what's wrong? What do they really need? Not what do I need and how do I get the sale? And then when you ask questions, you know what to do with the questions, and they end up being, because like I said, you ask good questions. Perhaps that's where they come from.
Yeah.
How do you think you learn that? I mean,
I honestly think I learned it at a very young age. At a very young age, I studied people. I've always found people fascinating, truly interested, and I'm interested in all walks of people. And I'm happy in many different areas of life. I just find people by nature are interesting to me, and their thought process really fascinates me. So I follow patterns in people a lot, and it's the patterns that tell me who I'm dealing with. So here's a quick, I'll make this quick, but it has.
Oh, don't make it quick. This is good.
And I was not that, I don't know how long I was in the business, maybe 8 or 9 months, not long. And an agent asked me to join them on a pitch. So I was honored because I really didn't know what I was doing, but they're asking me to join them. I'm like, this is fantastic. So we're in the elevator. The agent appeared to be a little nervous and she turned to me and she said, with a deep breath, are you nervous? Are you nervous? And I said, no, I'm not nervous. Why? And she said, well, did you practice? This true story. I said, did I practice what? Did you practice your pitch? And I thought to myself, I didn't know.
I'm so sorry. I didn't know what
the pitch
thing. This is so good. Right. Like,
what is a pitch thing? So I'm in this elevator with this lovely agent, so grateful to be included. And I didn't practice the pitch. And she said, you didn't? I said, you did? She said, yes, I always practice my pitch. I said, what does that mean? She said, oh, I practice. I even look in a mirror and I practice before I come. And I said, well, how do you know what you're going? She said to me, how do you know what you're going to say? I said, I don't know what I'm going to say. So then she looked scared. Like, why did I invite Vicky to join? Like, this woman didn't practice. She doesn't know what she's going to say. And I said, how would I know what I'm going to say when I don't know who's behind the door? So then the elevator opens up and here we are in the landing and the door is in front of us. And I'm puzzled. Now I am a little nervous because I'm thinking maybe I'm in the wrong field. Like maybe I don't understand this whole real estate career thing. So we knock on the door and the woman opened the door and there she was. And sure enough, as life would have it, behind her was a wood storyboard, a carved storyboard from the Micronesia Islands. Well, I had worked in healthcare and I had been to Saipan and Guam many times and understood the meaning of that storyboard. So my eyes lit up with enthusiasm. I pointed to the storyboard and I asked her, oh my gosh, you have a storyboard. And she smiled and I said, where'd you get that? And she said, you know, Ponape. And anyway, we came in, we kind of talked about that. And then we talked about the apartment. And then there was a book of interest on her table. I talked and asked her questions about the book. When we left, the agent said, I've never seen anything like that before in my life. And I said, what? And she said, that was crazy. You didn't even do the pitch. Like, you didn't really talk about the pitch. You talked about crazy things and told stories and the woman loved you and she's hiring us, but I've never, ever done anything like that before. And I said, well, that's the only way I know how to do it. Like, I wouldn't know how to. In fact, recently, Robert Refkin and a team, this is a true story. This is embarrassing. I was dying. I was invited. And I say yes way too many times. Like, I say yes a lot. Yes, of course I will. Yes, I'll show up. Yes, I'll do it. Yes, I'm there. So I was told to go in this room with Robert and about 12 people. And it was, we were, I guess, pitching the Compass pitch packet. And they were filming me as you're filming me right now. I was perspiring. First of all, I don't use a pitch packet when I go into anyone's, I don't do it. So in front of everyone, and Robert is sitting there and I'm stumbling through this pitch. I didn't really understand everything in the pitch packet. I was dying. Can you imagine how embarrassing that was?
No, I'm so proud of you. I think it's wonderful.
And then in the middle of it, I said, they had someone, we were role playing. And I just said, you know what? This is all adorable, this little pitch packet thing. I'm just going to leave it for you to read at your leisure. I have questions I have to ask you right now because I was dying.
That is the best pitch packet ever, ever. Okay, so much to say. You're like the fairy godmother of real estate agents. You're like, all these sellers have to sit and listen through these pitches. And then you come in like the fairy godmother with the wand and you make them happy and they trust you and you've done it already. Like, you've been there, done that. You've got the track record. I will say that, like, interviewing, I mean, we're episode, I don't know, everybody, 240 something by now. The agents that sell the biggest, baddest listings, have the, like, the bigger and badder the listing, the better question asker and listener, and the more in touch and like you're so comfortable in your own skin. Like, that's who they are. And I always say, that's who the agents are. Every time you look at the agent who makes it, it's the agent who just and some agents who make it, the pitch packet is sometimes their thing, but that's not the recipe. No. That's just a tool. The recipe is like Jim Rohn. If you want to improve your results or improve your whatever, you got to start here with who you are and how you listen and how you serve and the right questions.
Yes. Yeah. One time this is also embarrassing.
This is so much fun.
I thought I was on a panel because, you know, I do that at times. So
apparently you say yes a lot. So,
so I thought
I'm glad you said yes to this.
Well, thank you. So I showed up. This is a true embarrassing story. I showed up. There were about 100 people in the audience, and I'm looking for my name tag on the table, and I didn't see it. And I thought to myself, I thought I was supposed to be on this panel, but I could be mistaken. And all of a sudden, I look at the podium, and my name was on the podium. I was the moderator. Well, you moderate. When you're the moderator, you kind of have to have it together and know what questions you're going to ask. Like, that's a whole different role, a moderator, versus being on a panel and you share questions with four other people. So in that moment, can you imagine my heart beating? I had to go up on the podium. So what I did is I took a napkin and I wrote down the people's names that were really on the panel. And I had to wing the whole entire thing.
So but you're the best question asker. Yeah, keep going.
So I stood up there and I just started, I knew what the topic was. So then I started with one of the agents and I asked a question, and then I would have to think of my next question. So then I'd pause. I'd say, ladies and gentlemen, did you just hear what Raphael said? Interesting, isn't it? Now, Michelle, can you talk to me about what Raphael said? How do you, and I just got them all engaged, got the audience engaged, and it worked out really well, but you kind of have to just trust in yourself and just do it. Just, you know, a lot of people have analysis paralysis, and I see it in agents all the time. They dress nicely, they come to the office, they sit there, they give it their all, but they don't make movement. They're not taking action because they feel like they need to know every answer and have everything, every T crossed and every I dotted. And I think that comes from a fear of failure. I welcome failure. I fail all the time. I failed when I thought I was supposed to be on the panel and I was on the podium, but you make the best of it. And you know what? When I was done, people came up and they said, you're an amazing moderator. You should moderate more. And I'm thinking, if they only knew what just happened. Well, now they will, because I just said it and you're but the truth was, you just have to trust in yourself. And I tell agents, just go out there. And if I waited until I knew anything, I would have never become Rookie of the Year. I wouldn't have done all those for sale by owners. I didn't know anything, but I knew how to take care of people and I knew how to work hard. And that's something you'll find in every top agent. They all work extremely hard. They're all
hard.
Yeah, individuals.
So you said before you said work hard, I knew something. And then you said, I knew how to work hard. Do you remember what you just said? I want to write it down.
Take care of, you know, that you, I know how to take care of people.
Take care of people. Yeah.
I know how to take care of people.
Take care of people. Usually when I interview people, I can like compartmentalize what they say and repeat it, but you've got so much. It's like, it's like fairy godmother. Look at my word for you. This interview is going to be how to sell real estate from the fairy godmother of real estate. She just comes and like puts her magic. Even when she's the moderator, she just pulls a little magic wand out and makes everybody listen, and they all love and come together. She came right from California, plopped in the middle of brutal New York 20 years ago, mind you, when they didn't do yoga and eat all the organic fluffy stuff and just put her little fairy god. That's why they're that way now. You brought it over straight from California. But just work hard, work ethic, and ask questions. So I want to ask you too, when you look at, and then let's talk, we don't have much longer, but I find in working with newer agents, they want so badly to be successful and they want to learn the market, but there's like that paralysis. What do you think, what is your advice to all of us in whatever stage of our career to just snap out of it already, to break, to stop holding back, to get to the next level?
Here's what I'll say is it's okay not to be perfect. It's okay not to have every answer. It's okay not to know. I constantly say, I have no idea. That's an excellent question. Let me get back to you. The worst thing to do is to make up some answer that's incorrect, or lie, or not even be present to be in the situation. It's better to understand that by failing, if you don't go pitch and lose a listing, just keep pitching. Eventually you're going to get a listing. If a buyer you're working with, so it's asked a lot what failures I have, right? Like when I'm teaching them, can you talk to me about when you failed? I have plenty of them. The difference is I store them in the back of the file cabinet, not in the front of the file cabinet. I have retrieved them. They're in there. I'm aware of them. It's logical thinking, not as emotional. And I can get to them, but what purpose is it filing them and reliving? First of all, it was painful enough if you had that loss. If you lost a big listing or a client decided not to work with you, that doesn't feel good. But what good is it to just play that record over and over and over again? I don't get that channel. I'd rather turn the channel and have a different channel on. And while they're focusing on that loss, go sell another apartment. There's plenty of them to sell. It's an abundance. They're everywhere. There are not enough hours in the day. There's plenty to achieve. Just move forward and don't worry about what you're losing, and be grateful and congratulate the agent that got the listing. If I lose a listing, I'm happy for that agent that got the listing. You know what? Yeah. They're supposed to have that listing and offer to help them. If you have, some great historical information about it, share it with them. They're going to be shocked when you offer to do that, and they're going to remember you. I make a decent living working for free. And I tell this to for sale by owners. They say, we're not going to pay you. I'm like, that's okay. They'll say, why would you do it? I said, because you'll never forget me. If I bring that buyer to you and you don't pay me, you're never going to forget me. And they're shocked. Oh. You know what? They pay you. They will pay you.
You have good answers too, by the way, and good questions.
Oh, wow.
So it's like you just go out and it's go out and discover who you are, discover what you can learn. You were talking about experiences and you remind me a lot because you were talking about, I file those back here. When you file those experiences back here, I also see that you take what you learned from them and keep them. When I say back here, everybody who's listening, most of our listeners listen, don't watch, but it's in the back of your head but you also can see it. But do you ever, I never bring this up much, but do you know anything about, it's called NLP or neuro-linguistic psychology?
No.
We'll talk about that later, maybe for your book, because it's all about how you map things and see things, and you're speaking kind of in that language a little bit. So I thought that was interesting. So we had talked about some questions that I think we hit them all before we were going to start before we interviewed, and we've kind of had so much fun talking. So I'm going to run through those to make sure we don't miss any good stuff from you. One of them is mistakes that you see are being made by agents and how can agents fix them?
Okay. There are a couple. One, I see agents feel the need to make themselves an infomercial. They feel the need to make themselves bigger than life. And every human being is asking, what's in it for me? How's this going to help me? Especially a seller, right? A seller a seller, you know, I was selling a townhouse once and I made a book about the house, the whole house. The book, I was small. My little picture was on the back and my info, but it was, the house was the subject of interest, not Vicky Baron. Mm-hmm. We're not selling Vicky Baron. I'm selling the house, and the house needs to be the story, not me. So you see a lot of agents and they've got, they blow themselves up and the ego gets in the way and they want to sit in front of someone else and spend that precious time talking about themselves. These people don't want to know about me and my record and my success. Listen,
if we do, like, but keep going.
Well, you guys, but they want to hear, they want to know, first of all, they want to know that if you ask the right questions and they see the wheels are turning and you're asking intelligent questions that are important to that seller, they're going to sit there and say, this person obviously knows what they're doing and they're asking good questions and they're going to feel safe, like you do with the doctor. I think an analogy a lot is with, maybe because I worked in healthcare, but let's say, for an example, there was an agent that was panicked because they had to give bad news. By the way, I've been told that I'm a bad news specialist, like a Vicky, you're like a bad news. You deliver bad news with such ease.
With, well, the fairy wand, that's one.
Yeah, because you get it. It is what it is, right? But mm-hmm. think about this. If a seller, you have to give them bad news. Maybe the third deal blew up and they're not going to sign the contract. And that's not good news, right? You have to give that bad news. So I had an agent one day call me. She was panicked. She didn't know what to do. And I said, she was literally sick to her stomach and didn't sleep all night because she was caring so much about her client. I said, pull it together. First of all, it's nice that you care about him, but he's not hiring you to feel sorry for him. He is hiring you for a solution. He is hiring you to get him to the finish line. So if you pick up the phone and say, Jason, I'm so sorry. I can't stay. I didn't sleep all night. I have a stomach ache. I can't believe this happened. Mm-hmm. I feel bad. I feel bad. No. Imagine if you walked in the doctor's office and the doctor opened the door and said, you know, I am so sorry. I didn't see this coming. I got the test results. It's bad. It's really bad. I didn't sleep all night. I have a stomach ache thinking about it. You'd freak out and run out of that doctor's office. You want the doctor to say, you're going to go down the hall. This is a fact. We came to this. We have a plan. You're going to come back on Tuesday. We're going to do X, Y, and Z. They want an agent to say, listen, that deal fell apart. I've already called the two backups. We have an open house scheduled for Sunday. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. You are in control. You have a strategy. You're going to get them to the finish line. You can show emotion, but you have to have logical thinking. If you have emotional thinking and logical thinking together, you have wise thinking. If it's all just emotion, it's a hot mess. So I think a lot of agents make a mistake by tooting their own horn, getting all emotional, allowing their ego to drive them, and caring too much about the commission check. There should be a test. If anyone asked on any given day, how much are you going to make if you sell that? You should not know the answer. If you rattle that off, and the other thing,
oh,
if
you're say, so right.
Right? If agents say, oh, that's my new this or my new that, that's going to, you know, that's my new
life. Right.
It's a bad thinking. If I were hiring agents, I would.
That's a scarcity mindset as well.
Yes. Yeah. And they spend the money before they even get it.
As if there's not going to be enough.
Yeah.
Ego and emotion.
Ego and emotion.
Be aware of the ego and emotion. So that kind of leads into a little bit we talked about a pitch already that has to be it, but maybe it's not. What interview or pitch stands out and why?
Well, this is probably this interview could end my career. They're going to say she's not very smart. First of all, she got off an elevator with an agent and didn't know what she was doing. Then she,
this is awesome.
Then she was like, didn't know she was the moderator. So this is going to fold right into that, right? It's going to make me look really great.
I love it. It actually is. It shows how awesome you are.
I was on a pitch for a development, and I was told that they're tough. They're going to ask you a million questions about numbers and grill you on this whole spreadsheet. And I was really busy and didn't have a lot of notice for this interview. So I did not have the spreadsheet that I think they were wanting. I just didn't, I had too much on my plate. I was running nonstop. I showed up at the interview and they asked the question, why should we hire you?
The question and you hate.
Yeah. And I said, well, it's not for my spreadsheets. And then they
paused. A good answer.
Right. It's not for my spreadsheet. But I said, I marched kind of to a different drummer. I'm not your average bear. And I said, I tend to think a little differently. And I tend to be creative. And I'm a storyteller. And I see the end before the beginning. And I usually have a strategy and a creative way to get there. They said, well, what have you done recently that is creative? And the truth was, I had just, as a joke for my team, I had just finished a real estate rap song. So I said to them, well, I just honestly.
Oh my God, I've done that too. Anyway, keep going.
I wrote a real estate rap song. And the one gentleman said, you did? I said, yeah, I'm not sure what I'm going to do with it. And he said, well, can you sing it? And I said, you want me to sing it? He said, I sang my real estate rap song.
Can you sing it?
With these two men. Seriously? No, it's.
I'm serious.
I'll sing a part of it. It's
okay, good.
You know, brokers, wake up, wake up, wake up. Get out of bed. It's way past 8 and you're running late. Grab your show sheets, fact sheets. Get yourself to Bank Street. MetroCard, Crunch Bar, Starbucks too far. You ain't got no time for Starbucks. You're huffing and you're puffing and you're running behind just to find the sellers lounging behind with their goofy PJs and their messed up hair and the apartment's in total despair. Wake up, wake up, wake up. Brokers, wake up. And then it goes on to a whole financial meltdown. It was in 2000. I don't know what it was.
9, 8, had to be.
It was hilarious. So anyway,
you send that? Do you have it written out? Okay. We have to send it and share. I'm so serious. You've got to get a record. You need to get yourself recording doing that rap song. Oh my God. I'm so spit. That would be too big and bright, like for you. I mean, not bright, but you're already bright. The fairy godmother with the magic wand. But oh my God. So anyway,
were so shocked that one guy just started laughing. Anyway, I got the job and they never asked for the spreadsheet of the numbers. And then and by the way, the numbers, so from a number thing, I can't tell you. One developer said, you know, Vicki, you're a market maker. And I said to him, what does that mean? He said, well, and I hate price per square foot. I'm one, I know we have to do that, but if I could get rid of it tomorrow, if I could take a wand and have that disappear, I'd be a very happy person.
See, move to Atlanta. They're not big on it in Atlanta, believe it or not.
Because it's not about the size. Like I always say, two women's handbags are the same size. One of them will be in the garbage in a year and the other one is on eBay selling for a lot of money. It's not the size. It's so much more, and you have to know and understand what that value is. It's not understanding the pricing, it's understanding the value. And that isn't always about the size. So when I'm pricing these spreadsheets, that particular building that I sold, we knocked it out of the ballpark, and I made up prices as we went along because intuitively, I really believed the number was the number. And then people would challenge me and say, the price per square foot, that's never happening. I'm like, yeah, it's happening. I really believed it was happening. And I wouldn't say it if I didn't believe it. And I could be wrong, but you have to go with your gut and trust. If you believe something and your heart is in it, then go with it. And that's a good rule of thumb.
I'd love to touch on that for a minute, because I find a lot of times, especially I've noticed being in the business almost as long as you, you've got a few years on me, but I mean, I don't even know anymore, 17 or 18 years.
I don't know either. You surprised me by saying 22. I thought it was 20. So there you go. I lost 2 years. Hey.
So you get a listing and I'm like, no, I know this is the price. And even yesterday I was having lunch with our assistant turning real estate agent. He goes, you know, like I just thought we were just going to have to reduce that price. And you were right. It's like, because you just know, like, you just know your market. You just know what you just, like you said, the intuitive thing. But sometimes do you find in the business or maybe a market thing, sometimes agents are just prone to go, oh, it's price too high. Price too high.
Yes. Yes.
And why do we have real estate agents if it's just price too high? Why don't we just like put it on the internet?
Exactly.
If that's all it is price too high.
Exactly. And I say to them, look, the price is important and sometimes they are priced too high. So
yeah,
I've got listings where I walk in and you know what? They'll say they want the number. This is my favorite. Owners will say, I need, you know, whatever. I just had one say this to me. I need, you know, $7.2 million. I'm like, yeah, that's not happening. They're like, no, but I need this. I'm like, I need to be 10 years younger and 10 pounds lighter, but it's not happening, right? So if I thought, and then I say to them, I want to get you 8 million. But it's not happening. I'm telling you, as I'm sitting here, if I thought that that was going to happen, I would tell you. But in my mind, we can do it, but it's not the direction I would go.
So into that, when they say, when I hear that, that's where the questions turn on. Okay. Yeah. So they need that as if they just need it enough, it's going to happen. So I think, okay, so that's probably not going to happen. So if it's not, let's figure out, how do we figure out what they really need or what is going on behind the need? Because what if, and sometimes it's, well, what if you can't get that? What if the market proves it won't bear it?
Right.
And you do it in a way we're not on a told you so way, but okay, what's really going on? So we can really get the right back to where you started.
Yeah.
Let's get to the right solution. And the right solution isn't going, okay, they need this, so I'm just going to pretend like it will work so I can get the listing and pray and just in case it sells. And then if it doesn't, maybe they'll hang on me until I get lucky. I mean, how many times does that game get played in our business?
A lot. And it really is not, it's really better just to be honest. I would rather lose the listing if I don't believe in it and I don't believe in the number. Now, if I'm going to, and I have, right? I have followed the lead of someone wanting a higher number than I think it should be listed at. And I will usually say, I tell you what, can we agree? I will give it my all at that number for 30 days. At the end of 30 days, let's look at the data and let's really study the data and see if we're going in the right direction, because I don't want you to chase the number downwards. And that's what can happen. You can end up with less money if we go in the wrong direction. Does that make sense to you? They say yes. And then you have to ask the right questions to mm-hmm. understand their mindset of where they're at. And you have to be honest with them.
So to that, absolutely. Whoa. Okay. So you keep leading me to more questions because I want to ask you another question, but before I do, you just said, and you have to be honest with them. And isn't that funny how it's so hard sometimes? And I read a quote the other day, it said, when you tell people what they want to hear, you're telling them you're looking out for you. I can't remember the wording, but it was like, when you tell people what they want to hear, you're in it for you, or you're in it. But when you tell people what they need to hear, then you're serving people.
Yes. It's like, why can't it just be, you're going to get to the same place. You'll get there a lot faster if you're honest. Listen,
Actually, you might get to a much better place if you're honest.
I have friends that are on dating sites and I sit and listen to them. And I honestly, if I had more time, but I don't have time right now to do this, but someone should start a dating site that's all about, like, why not just say, listen, I have some wrinkles, you know, I snore at night, I have a muffin top, whatever your issues are, just say it up front. I'm one to disclose. So when I'm selling an apartment and you come in, I will tell you and point out the challenges up front, get them out of the way. West side windows, lot line, you're going to lose them because developer X, Y, and Z is building a building to the left. To the right, I mention up front, we have local law 11, there's an assessment happening, blah, blah, blah. You get that out and wrap your arms, give the negative first, and then wrap your arms around something positive. There's an art to delivering bad news, but if you deliver it, here's one. I sold a building with a really unattractive school across the street. It was not good. So everyone would come in and they would say, oh, I love the building, but that school. And I say, yeah, it's, I tried to move it, but it's not going anywhere. And then they would see me. They'd say, yeah, that's not good. I'm like, and you think it's not, wait till you see the kids coming out of it. They're not a picnic either. It was fast. I mean, seriously, it was bad. I'm like, but somehow it's not stopping people from buying in here. Let me show you the blah, blah. And then I'd go in and talk about the beautiful building. And it was a jewel in an amazing building with a really unattractive school across the street that was never going away. And the kids were kind of rowdy that went to that school and would scream and scare you. So why not tell the truth? But as soon as I would say that, what do you think happened? They trusted everything I said from that moment on. And I was teaching a class and asked a group of agents, how would you answer the question? Really bad school, not attractive school. How would you answer the question? You know what I got? I'd have people come up on stage and they'd say, oh, well, I'd say it's an artistic school, or I'd say the importance of education. And they all tried to camouflage.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
It's not a cute school and the kids are crazy.
Yeah. Well, and what I loved is the way you kind of diffused it. Number one, it's about diffusing whatever the motion. You just diffuse them, call them out, and that diffuses it. And then my favorite is when you go, but it's not keeping people from buying in here. Let me show you. And then they're like, oh yeah, other people are, because the biggest fear of a seller or buyer is I'm the loser. I'm the one who like got stuck, or I'm the one who didn't see it and everybody else did. Right. So you just completely call it out, you diffuse it, like, haha, yes, and, or whatever. And then if it's a no, I always quote Chris Voss, but it's just a lot better. It's not a sin to not get a deal, but it is a sin to drag it out and take a long time to not get a deal. And by the way, not be honest with people. I added onto his quote there, by the way, with that last part, but I'm sure he would agree.
Yes.
I love it. So that goes into, we're going to still be about another 10 minutes. I think you're okay on time, right? Okay. Because we're going to ask you one more question, I think, but then there'll be more. And then we're going to do our final three questions. But a story, so this is another one that I don't know if you've told us this yet. I hope you haven't, because your stories are so good. But a story of when, no, you haven't. A story of when you lost a big listing and how you handled it.
Oh, well, I lost my, it happens to everyone, but when I'm going to give you, if you have time, I'll give two, but
no, what yes.
I'll tell you is that I lost a big listing. The owner called me. I was on the listing with someone else. It was going to be a co-broke and a big price point. We're talking like over $40 million. And then it went off the market for a while. The owner had to deal with some stuff. And then in the interim, the owner called me and decided he was just going to go with agent A and not agent A and B, as in.
And that was the agent you were already supposed to co-broker with.
Right.
Ooh.
And he was so gracious to call me and have the personal conversation. He was concerned about how I was going to feel about it. And I asked him a question. I said, Mr. Owner, first of all, I complimented him for taking the time out of his busy schedule to call me. That meant so much to me. But what's most important is that he feels that he's in the right hands. And what I'm hearing is that you feel that Agent A is going to be more successful selling it solo and you're asking me to step aside. Is that correct? He said, yes. I said, I will do it with pleasure. And please let Agent A know. And by the way, I think the world of Agent A, you are in excellent hands. And at any time, should Agent A have any questions or if I can help on the sideline, by all means, I'm here to support that agent. I hung up from him. I called Agent A, congratulated him, and said, I'm so happy for you. It's a beautiful apartment. You're going to knock it out of the ballpark. And I'm here if you need any help. And then I sent him a note. Well, they immediately called the owner to tell the owner that I responded to them that way. And the owner said, she's unbelievable. Like that is, she's just so gracious and remarkable. And it felt good to that owner that everyone felt good. And you know what? Everyone has to eat. And that agent that got the listing, was I disappointed? 100%. Did I want to be on the listing? 100%. But this was the owner's decision. And I am here to service an owner. And his decision, he felt, was best with going with Agent A as a solo. So why not support that Agent A and wish him the very best and do anything you can to support him to help that owner get to the finish line. And again, it's kind of that thing where you're working for free because I wasn't now getting paid, but I was still willing to help any way I could to support the two of them to get to that finish line. And that is when you build relationships and people come back and you build a reputation because giving stinky eye is never a winning solution. Mm-hmm.
Well, the opportunities to learn who people are is when they're squeezed. You know, when somebody gets squeezed a little, what comes out is who they are and what they're made of.
Right.
And so in those situations, even for yourself, it doesn't mean watching other people. Watch yourself. When I get pressured, when I see bad things coming out, I'm like, huh, what do I need to learn today?
Yes.
What do I need to learn today? Why am I being the person I don't know myself to be? And in what you did, look at what you did. And that's where you build, take care of your character and your reputation takes care of yourself. And is it unbelievable how I found myself working for free so many times. And I think, why am I doing this? do I want to go broke? Like, what am I doing? But the more I do it, it sounds like, oh, you're just lucky or whatever. But no, I can point out a lot of situations where I'm anything but lucky. But at the same time, the more I live in line with that mindset of abundance, to your point, or we do, it's amazing. Look at you, and you won't even talk about it, but you're representing developments and breaking sales records, and you talk about a $40 million listing. I've got a beautiful $12 million listing behind me of yours, and you're just this authentic fairy godmother of real estate.
Oh, you're sweet. I want to just share the other one because the other one is.
Oh, please, yes.
There was a young. I was in a building and I had a listing.
So let's repeat for everybody. This is like situations when you lost big listings and how you handled it.
Yes. So I had a listing on the 14th floor in a building. I was coming out of the elevator. I had done my photo shoot and I was supposed to go meet an owner on the 10th floor. When I came down to the lobby, because I was bringing some props out, there was a young agent who had her pitch packet. She was so excited. I'm telling you, as we've all been there, so excited to get that listing. She was going to meet the owner on the 10th floor, same owner that I was going to meet.
Now, you were going to meet this owner because he was already your client or because it was a listing pitch?
I was going to get the listing. I had a listing on the 14th floor, so it made sense that they say, oh, you're selling that. Will you come in? I'm going to sell mine on the 10th floor. Well, this agent was also going to pitch for the same listing. And she was so excited to get the listing. And I don't know, I just liked her. She was just, her energy was good and she was so excited. And I really felt like if I went in, I would probably get that listing because I already had one in the building. And, you know, I had a little more, she was newer and I wanted her to get the listing. So I called up the doorman And I said, can you call up to the owner on the 10th floor? I called up and I said, you know what? I'm so sorry to do this. You're going to think I'm a flake, but I'm not able to make it. I've got to run. I double booked myself and I've got to go somewhere and I can't come up. So the other agent got that listing. So you have to hear this. This is a really funny story. So I was holding an open house and a guy came in and he bought the apartment direct with no agent. And he closed the fastest I've ever closed in a co-op. 21 days later, we're at the closing table. And he said, oh, Vicki, I wanted to mention something to you. I never mentioned this to you. I said, what's that? He said, I was working with an agent. She showed me 41 apartments. And I walked in your open house and bought it directly with you. I said, oh my gosh, I had no idea you were working. I didn't know you. I didn't know him. He just came in the open house. He liked it. And we went to contract. I never showed him another apartment. I had no idea he looked at 41 apartments. He said, yeah. So I called up that agent and I told her I bought another apartment without her. And she wasn't too happy. And then she said, well, who was the other agent on the other deal? And when I said, Vicki Barron, she said, oh, if you're going to cheat on me and buy an apartment without me, I'm so glad it was her. It was the agent that I left in the lobby that got the listing. It got the listing on the 10th floor was showed him 41 apartments, but she didn't get. So sometimes in life, that's when I talk about abundance. Like if you do the right thing, it all comes back and everyone has to eat. So just help one another. It's, you don't have to pick up every single crumb is my point.
Oh, I love that. Well, and when you start doing that, you start not even knowing that you're jumping over dollars to get to pennies.
A good saying. I'm going to copy that. That's a good one.
Must be a Southern thing or something.
Love that.
I didn't make that one up. I wish I could claim it. I've heard it a lot in my life.
That is yours. I learned it from her. She told me.
Yeah. Terry Metcalf gave me that. I'll pretend like I came up with that myself. All right. Let's do final three questions. So question number one is, what do you think has been, and you've kind of given us that the whole interview, but what would you sum up as your biggest resource in your success? Or best resource in your success?
So how I feel my formula, so to speak, is that fair? Am I on the right track?
I like it. Yeah.
My formula that has worked for me is, first of all, I'm not saying another formula does not work. There are many formulas, many different ingredients to put in that cake. But my formula is I spend a lot of energy and time with the people that I touch. So if you have bought or sold a house or an apartment with me, you're kind of stuck with me for life. Like I don't go away. I mean, you will get bombarded. I do not give closing gifts for whatever that's worth. I've never given a closing gift. I feel that's really awkward. I know some people do it very successfully. I'm not saying don't give a closing gift. It's just, it feels like I get a check for whatever the amount can be, and then I'm going to give you a bowl. It just doesn't feel right to me. So I don't give closing gifts, but I sprinkle them with stuff throughout the year and years to come. And I stay in contact with them, but I pay attention by asking questions. So if they're, you know, there was a pianist, this woman that was this amazing pianist. And I found this beautiful scarf with piano keys all over it. And I bought it and sent her a note. Like it meant something. I do a lot of handmade cards and notes, and I'm just constantly touching the people that I've dealt with, and they feel as though I'm Vicki Barron first, and I happen to sell real estate instead of being the agent of quote number whatever with whatever title, which as we know, I don't know what the titles are because
you were a senior VP, you just didn't know it.
I just didn't know it.
You were like CEO and didn't know it anyway.
So I think the formula for me, the success is caring about the people authentically, putting them first and following up and staying connected with them and for years to come. You just, you know, there's statistics. What are they? Like, if you're going to hire that agent again, they say it's like 80 or 90%, but only 10% do. It's because the agents.
Because the agents will follow up.
I can leave.
Well, I was telling somebody, it was coaching one of my teachers on the team. And I was like, look, I was like, you got to make it easy for people. And without chasing them and harassing them, you've got to be the best. You've got to know that, like you said, I did my research. You've got to know your market. You've got to make life easy for them. The higher, the more expensive the listings get, the harder it is, the less time they often have, and the more they appreciate integrity and honesty. Right. How do you, though, keep up? I mean, 20 something years in the business, how do you do that and keep up with everybody? Do you have a system or like a CRM that you use to do that? Or what do you do to make sure you don't lose people?
Yeah, I do have a CRM, and we go through it, and I take good notes. So if I'm working with someone, I really want to know who they are. So I'm listening and watching constantly. Like if I go to dine and they don't drink coffee, they only drink tea. Noted. I'll make that note. So I'm not going to send them coffee. I'm going to send them tea. If you know, we're out and about and they're like, oh, I'm addicted to chocolate. I love chocolate. And then I'm in some crazy great chocolate store, I'll send them chocolate. So I take real good, I take good notes. If they have a pet, you know, the pet's name. I once had someone that did Christmas ornaments, and I got the animal's picture and she painted their face on the ornament. So with a handmade box, so you send that to them, and it's, and you write in the card, you know, the pet, the dog's name. Like you say, oh, you know, I hope this comes in handy. Or, you know, if you just have to listen, their spouse's name, their children's names. You know, I've sent out handmade Halloween little pumpkins for the candy. And then I get photos of them with their children carrying around the pumpkin with the Halloween candy dressed up in their uniform. So I uniform in their costume. So uniform. So I just try to, I find people of interest. I like people. So I get to know them. I may forget their name though. I'm really bad with names. Horrible.
That's so funny. Yeah. But you remember all that other stuff.
Oh yeah. A woman called me and she said, you sold me an apartment 14 years ago. And she gave me her name and I went blank. Like I had no idea. I've never even heard of this name. Like it was bad. She said, I said, what was the address? She said, 140 East 81st Street. I said, 1927 split elevators, south side of the street. You bought 10D. It had wallpaper in the foyer, Jack and Jill bed. She was shocked. Like I could draw the whole floor plan. I knew what she paid for it. I knew. And then it came. Yeah, I knew who she was. I'm like, oh, I remember you had, you know, salt and pepper hair. And yeah, so I remember people and their soul. I'm not so good with their names, but the CRM helped me with that.
Yeah, that helps a lot. You want to do that. You want to remember their name. That's so funny. All right, next question. Book. So the final three, second of the last three. Is there a book that you would recommend we read or that has most affected or impacted your career or life?
Oh, and see, I'm telling you titles. The title of this book, what is its, it is.
See, names of stuff. What's it about?
It's about this topic, staying in contact with people authentically. And it's almost like when I read it, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's like he, that's this.
So it's a man author?
It's a man author. I will.
If you send it, we could still link it to your blog post when this releases.
I will.
So everybody, you have to go to the blog post because otherwise it'll be at VickiBarron.JerryMetcalfPodcast.com, VickiBarron dot Jerry Metcalf Podcast. You can figure that part out.
That's a problem because
Not the book Giftology, is it?
No, but that's a great book. That is
it's about personalizing. Book. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry. Boy, is it.
That's all right. We'll figure it out. Giving authentically. Sure. That should have been the name.
Yeah, it should have been. We'll change the title. We'll rewrite.
There we go. And then you'll forget that name.
I will.
All right, so last but not least, if there's one thing, if we forget everything from this interview, which is going to be hard, but if we did, what was the one thing you'd hope everybody listening takes away from our conversation today?
Have fun, be kind, care about people, and don't be afraid to fail. Just, you're in a world of abundance. If you lose something, there'll be more to come.
Love it. Have fun, care about people, be kind. Don't be afraid to fail. We live in a world of abundance. There's more to come.
Yes.
The more you fail, the more you learn, and the more abundant your world becomes.
Oh, look at.
Thank God this was recorded. That was good, wasn't it? I can't say it again. Thank you. I gave us yours. I got
amazing.
It.
Like, you could do a rap song with that. I think that rap, you do.
Your rap song, you've got to send. You've got to send. I can't wait. I'm so glad we got to have this conversation today. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. You're amazing. You should just.
Thank you.
I was going to say, you do this all the time.
I should do it more. Let me close this out for everybody, because I'm going to re-say you, and then we'll stop recording. But Derek, you can keep telling people I'm amazing, though. I don't mind.
No, you're amazing. Like, it's unbelievable. You're so comfortable in front of the camera.
You're pretty good too.
Oh, well. Well, you know what is funny? I don't see myself. I only see you. Like, I don't know. I'm somewhere. Maybe there's a, if I,
well, saw- there's a thing. I can see me, but I don't look at me, because you'll see me look at me. But I'm going to close out, and then I'm going to hit finish recording. Then I'm going to officially tell you bye. So everybody, thank you for listening to the Jerry Metcalf podcast. We're top real estate agents. Tell how they do it. But moreover, Vicky Barron in New York. So awesome to have you on the show.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to the Jerry Metcalf podcast, where top real estate agents tell how they do it. If you like this episode, please share it with friends. To find more episodes, search Jerry Metcalf podcast on any platform for podcasts, or go to jerrymetcalfpodcast.com. That's jerrymetcalf podcast.com.